Parsha Insights by Rosh Hashiva Rav Horowitz on the trauma of the Holocaust and the trauma of Teshuvah movement. Devarim chapter 28, 7 through 65 and 66 through 69. Chapter 29, verse 17 through 28. Chapter 30, Devarim 1 through 14.
When Hashem created the world, in 6 days. So there's an ancient tradition, quoted also by the Ramban. What is the significance of 6 days of creation? Seventh day he rested. The first 2,000 years of the history of mankind on this planet are referred to as Tohu Vavohu. It was chaos. Was trying to find out if this globe, which is, according to modern science especially, entropy, in other words, it is made specifically to create human beings with a mind, not with the body. And we know if this globe would be a little closer to the sun, it would burn up. A bit further away from the sun, it would freeze. Which is part of the chaos referred to in the first verses of the Chumash, Tohu Vavohu. But spiritually also, it was a chaos because the experiment with mankind was not successful. Because one of the conditions was God breathed into man the Nishmat Chayim, the power of the soul. And the soul is the conscience. Man did not follow his inner soul of the conscience. Except for individuals, like Avraham Avinu, before him Noah. But long there were some individuals left, so Hashem was waiting. Maybe there's going to be developed people, Avamon Goyim, will follow the way of Noah, because he was a tzaddik in his generation. For the way of Avraham Avinu, Avamon Goyim. It wasn't enough. Hashem wanted this to come to the whole of mankind, which was an attempt made by Avraham Avinu. When he pleaded even for the wicked, Hashem should give a chance if there are 10 left, if there are minyan left, the people who could create a community ultimately. There's still a chance. And that went on with Am Yisrael, but unfortunately Am Yisrael did not fulfill it sufficiently. So the second 2,000 years were years of Torah, at least since there was Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and there were made 70 souls that already the beginning of a nation. That is why he created the miracles of Paros, the symbol of wickedness, ultimately having to succumb to Moshe Rabbeinu, the highest of the saints of all mankind. That was led to the 2,000 years of Torah, when there was a nation already who already accepted the Torah. And 2,000 years begin with Matan Torah, when the Torah was given on Sinai. Nevertheless, Hashem saw this nation has its ups and downs. They were affected by idol worship. In the time of the Romans took over many parts of the population of mankind under the rulership of evildoers and tyrants who were specifically concerned to wipe away from the land of Israel, which had already also a nation that received the Torah entirely, the time of Yeshua, but then deteriorated, and the kings of Israel and of Judah, many of them were idolaters, and succumbed to the surrounding corrupt nations of the Canaanites. And therefore Hashem said, I'm going to banish them from the land entirely. The land of the land is the land of Hashem. It means the land of the firstborn of the family of nations, the people of Israel. But they don't deserve to be in the land if they don't keep the Torah. So we have the Teuchocho Rishoino. Hashem says, if the people, it's all a prophecy, which has all been fulfilled, every word almost has been fulfilled, entirely every word, in fact. But we can see it fulfilled in history. So therefore, the teichoch of the curses mentioned in the book of Vayikra refer to the Roman period. And because of, especially, not so much they'd left idolatry, but the Yetzer Hara of materialism and disputes, egoism, was still too strong among the nation of Israel. Therefore, the land became desolate. We didn't fulfill it. So then, Hashem said, I'm going to warn them. And that is last week's parsha, which describes, first of all, the enormous blessings which will come from the people of Israel. Im shamo tishmu, al kol mitzvosai, if Am Yisrael decide to listen to all the totality of the Torah, then I will bless the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'll give you also Elyon, you'll be above all the other nations. They will respect you, because you are the conscience of mankind. And you have the duty to teach mankind. So Hashem threatened something much worse than Roman persecution. If we study last week's parsha, there are many elements involved in that parsha which do not fit the description of Roman times, but they do literally fulfill many aspects of the followers of Titus, the followers of the enormous wicked people who destroyed the temple. It's not been rebuilt since, and took away one more important center of holiness for the whole world. But it became a center of immorality and evil. So Hashem, what does it say in last week's parsha, terrible things. We eat some sugar. From whatever you see, it'll make you insane. And that happened to those who were part of the unfortunate plan of the final solution of the Titus of Nazi times, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, who even in his last testament, before he committed suicide, so he said, he gives commands that as long as there's one Jew living anywhere in the world, he has not fulfilled his aim in life. Unfortunately, he thought, after what is mentioned, this parsha has happened, things will change. But I want to point out a few more interesting aspects. Especially if you look in this chapter 28, it says, listen to how it says, if you will not listen to the voice of Hashem your God, to observe and fulfill all his commandments and statutes, which I command you today, then there will come you all these curses, which I'm going to say, Hashem says, and they will overtake you. You'll be cursed in every part of life. And then it says that they'll come against you, a nation which comes with a symbol of the eagle, with the symbol of the Nazis, and it'll be a cruel nation. Asher lo tishma l'shono, you don't even understand the language they're speaking. It's not a question of not knowing German. On the contrary, you didn't understand when you learned German and we became assimilated what that language contains, speaking about the culture, what that culture really means. Yes, it will produce professors to promote evil, to create weapons of destruction, to create gas chambers, doctors who will go and experiment with human beings as though they were low animals. So these things were mentioned. The Romans didn't go so far, but in our time went so far. And it's interesting that 6 million. The six corresponds, if you look into the Maral of Prague, explains it more deeply, or kind of 6 days. 6 days represent materialism, because we are in a universe where everything, if you go down to it goes down to a six-sided world which you can perceive, whereby you create sciences, whereby that's the concept of the square and of the cubic aspect of life. In other words, that it represents the power of the mind over nature, over material nature. But the seventh dimension is the reference of that which is harmony, which is Einstein's concept of the harmony of the world. It demonstrates, it's not from Einstein, it comes from his forefathers, demonstrates the concept of harmony and peace, of the Shabbat of creation. So this is what is referred to here. And what is most surprising is the last verse of the Tochacha, the last two verses. If you look at chapter 28, verse it like this. Your life will be in front of you. They'll be suspended in front of you. In other words, every moment you don't know whether you can live another few minutes, because you can't trust anyone. You're there in the machanot avodah ke'ilu, but it's not that. You know, they're finding out who's going to be killed, how quickly they're going to be killed, how quickly they push in the gas chambers. So you fear, being afraid, day and night, and you won't believe that your life is anything. In the morning, you will say, who's going to let me come to the evening? In the evening, you will say, who will give me the morning? Because of the terror in your heart that you will fear, and what you see with your eyes, what's going in front of you, how they are killing our people. And Hashem, and then it says at the end, that last phrase is indeed most significant. V'hitma katem shom loivecha lavadim lishvachot ve'in koneh. Now the Midrash already says, which is all tradition, that this is what happened in the time of Haman. Esther Malka, when she accused Haman that he is the source of everything, she said, his plan, you think his plan is to make the Jews into slaves and to make them prisoners? No, Haman's plan was the final solution, to kill every person. Exactly the same expression that brought here. Vilu, lavodim v'lishvachot kavhanu. I wouldn't protest, I wouldn't have to go and reveal my identity. That's what Esther revealed her identity in front of Ahasuerus and told him, the plan of Haman is the final solution, exactly as it mentioned here in the Chumash. You see, this prophecy is related to what might happen. But of course, when was this? I'm going here called the Perush of the Gaon of Vilna. He explains it literally like this. This is Makatem, means you wish you'd be in a work camp, like the modern Nazis do. They had a special Camp Theresienstadt, which they showed to all the nations and everybody else, because it looked like a work camp. There were no gas chambers anywhere in the area. They insist on that. But they didn't know that nearby was Dachau. Dachau, they were being exterminated. Not just them. They weren't the first gas chambers, they were in Auschwitz. And what was the gate to Auschwitz? Arbeit macht frei. That means, if you're going to work hard, you'll have freedom. And many Jews believed that, and non-Jews even more so. And that's why the nations of the world did not destroy Auschwitz right from the beginning. Because they said, what do you mean, Arbeit macht frei? That these are concentration camps. Concentration camps. There were death camps, concentration camps. Even today, that is a symbol. That's mentioned here, with Makatem. This is the greatest proof for the truth of the Torah, that every word in the Torah, you have to study it in order to understand the history of the Jewish people and the nations of the world. So, you have any questions on this? Comments?
When you mentioned at the beginning, describing the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, nothing would grow or anything like that, why today do we get it back? The sentence is so much on the opposite side than the boom side.
I think the answers will come in. Soon, we'll get the answers. In fact, we'll get the answers right away. The question is posed, he mentioned in Midrashim, in the Zohar, why is it that the curses which became fulfilled, mentioned in Vayikra, end with a note of hope? And this principle also, all prophecies generally end with a note of hope. What does it say there in Vayikra at the end? It says there'll be a remnant that will remain, and they'll keep the Jewish people going. Because one day it's the remnant that did not give in to all the assimilation and intermarriage. They've remained. And that was hope. So they went to Bovel. in that time. Israel became a desolate place with just animals there for a time. Then other non-Jews took hold of it. But here it says, no hope, ein kone, hit makatem. You were sent to death camps, that's the end of the Jewish people. So where's the hope? So the answer is, they took fright. The answer is given. Let's look at the following parsha. Because the following parsha, Nitzavim, which is next week's parsha, so this is a parsha of hope. Yeah? That's why Hashem said, he's speaking, this is, don't despair, because there's prophecy which is about history. It says, you're speaking to the people of Israel, water to us, that you don't need to be frightened. Because you see that but this was given just before entry into Eretz Israel of all the tribes. So he said to them, don't be afraid of these threats, because you see today, before Moshe Rabbeinu's death, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his words, that all of you, you're all in front of Hashem. You're all together, so you don't need to be afraid. And nevertheless, how does it continue? Because there's intervening history between the history, the time of Yeshua, it's Moshe Rabbeinu certainly, he made a covenant with Am Yisrael at that time that he was not going to forsake the people of Israel. Hashem did not give up. But Jews, many Jews gave up. But then he said, you are good, but you should know, if there's anyone amongst you, people who are going to succumb to alien worship or alien ways of life, alien immorality, then even if it's an individual, the individual has and he says, I'm going to follow the wish of my heart, I'll do what I want. Yeah, there have been leaders who have come to say, well, we believe in Hashem, but we're not going to follow anything Jewish. We're going to intermarry. When it came, there were very many, the Tzedukim who started following Roman ways, and then it happened all the way through medieval times, and certainly in modern times, Jews became modern. We know that instead of Jerusalem, it was Berlin, they even became very cultured people, some of them. But which culture? Tabut is culture. Tabut Rosheim Chataim. It was a culture of people who sinned against the Torah. They intermarried, they followed alien philosophies. And all these, the reform movement, more recent times, or started 200 years ago, but today it's carrying on even until today. They say, oh yes, we want Jews. Today even want Israel. Yes, want Israel. But are you fulfilling Eretz Israel as it's known as the land of Hashem? You regard the land of Hashem, treat it as the land of Hashem? No. This is the battles going on today. And today it's a question, we're back at it, mamish today. Hashem is not giving up because of the remnant that has decided we'll come to Eretz Israel and we want to learn here and we want to teach here Torah and also Chesed, loving kindness. We'll try and spread as much loving kindness as possible. We'll try and spread as much Yirat Hashem, all in front of Hashem, as possible. And because of that, Hashem allows the land, also they built up the land, very good. They build up the land is also very good, but you've got to build up the land not in order to carry on communism, but in order to carry on Judaism. Because there was certainly times when the major powers in the land of Israel were communists. And they believed in Western concepts of lifestyle, and today's become very dangerous, because they also believe in certain things which are so immoral, and it's become also quite widespread in the land of Israel to do moral things in many different ways. And this is also spread to the nations of the world, instead of the other way around. We should set an example of the highest level of holiness and the highest level of loving kindness. Loving kindness to Hashem and loving kindness to man. And we have got even here, in Parshas Nitzavim, in the beginning, these part groups that go astray. And as a result also, the land, in fact, 200 years ago, there was very strong assimilation and the starts also the first hints of Jewish people being involved in non-Jewish places, even with leadership, in things which are alien to Hashem and to the Torah. So, it says there, the land will come desolate, and there might come a person from a distant land, Hanochri, the Gentile, who comes from a faraway land, and he sees the whole land is desolate, and it's not being built up. It become like a land filled with nothing, with no proper growth, no proper growth even in the agriculture of the land. It's being neglected. People are fighting one another. Who owns this and who owns that? And there were hardly any Jews there either, the land of Israel, in those times, 200 years or 150 years ago. And that's the famous story of Mark Twain. Hanochri asher lo yovoim me'eretz rechokah. But a Gentile will come from faraway land, America, to come to visit the land of Israel. It says, this is not the land of Israel, described in the Bible. This is the most desolate land in the world. There's no other land which is so lowly in its population, and it's being looked after. It's not looked after at all. Until the Jews started coming back. Because Hashem called them. And that is why Parshas Nitzavim is famous, so famous for its description, not of how serious it will be. And it ends, in fact, with a phrase, also a very interesting phrase. It says that he says, because the people of Israel also neglected the land of Israel, and therefore Hashem brought all the curses mentioned in this book. Vayitshem Hashem me'alach mosom. So Hashem drove them away, Jews away from his land, partly through the Crusaders and others, all the way through, until more recent times. But afu v'chem u'ketzer with great anger, vayashlichem, and he threw them away, eretz acheres, to other lands, like on this day. So the Jews are scattered all over the world. The biggest communities were in Europe and in America and other places, but the land of Israel was ignored. So that this is the hidden things that Hashem, our God, what is revealed is for us and our children forever. And if you look, Vayashlichem has got a large lamed. So Rav Hirsch gives an interesting Hasidic comment. He says, why is it got a big lamed? Lamed means to teach. He says, there's a great teaching in why the Jewish people were dispersed all over the world, in different places. That is, the professor there took on well in Spain. They couldn't get one in Israel, nothing in Spain, but the Spanish period was fantastic. But because also they got so much assimilation of the Jewish people, so they were thrown away from there, came to Europe, and Europe began the pogroms. Also became, they were placed from Europe to Russia, and all over the place, and then to America. But Jerusalem. There were individuals who came. That's how it started. Also, Hashem led it, that even irreligious people also come. So this is a big lesson for us. And when it says here at the end, the main thing is, from all this you have to learn forever to take note of the warnings, and it shouldn't become repeated. And there's great danger today it might be repeated. Today we're really in that danger because of all the wars and Iran and Abdesh and others. They should target, of all places in the world, they target only Jews in Israel. They want Jews out of Israel. They want to drive us out. And even comes out that the latest news today is that the person who's part of the government, he declared in the United Nations to go and create a Palestinian state. A Jew says, let the Palestinians take over the whole country. There's certainly a danger. The Muslims can also get majority and take over. It's a very dangerous thing. And that's why it's so important in time of Bechira, choosing. So we've all got to work hard in getting more zechuyot, in praying and learning Torah, and also, because we're obligated also to make sure that the government and the army will not follow such concepts as giving over the land to our enemies. So, what is so great about Parshas Nitzavim? It's called the Parsha of Teshuvah. So we'll explain that soon. First, have you any comments or questions? Look now at the beginning of chapter 30. It shall be, when there will come upon you all these things, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you. Well, we are certainly in a situation today where we have the blessing and the curse. The blessing of the land, Hashem has been very kind to us. He has allowed us to be in this land now, especially since the Six-Day War, given us a great push-up nearer to come to be happy in this land, to be safe in this land, to be strong in this land, and above all, to return to Him. There's no question that the return, the land of Israel, to Jerusalem, especially with the Six-Day War, this was the trigger for the Teshuvah movement. This is what is so great today. And what does it say? Hashem voiso et levavcho. Then Hashem is speaking about the national heart, the national feelings of the people of Israel. Hashem says, He is going to, Hashem voiso levavcho, I'm going to see that you go back to the heart of the Jewish people. Which Jewish people? B'chol ha-goyim, amongst all the nations, Ashedicha Hashem Elokech Hoshama, to which Hashem, your God, cast them out, cast you out. So this phrase is very important. What's an Ihanidachas? David, can you tell what's an Ihanidachas? What's Ihanidachas?
The condemned city.
It's a condemned city. Some say it never happened. But the concept is, if there's a city, but why are you condemned? Nidochim are people who are cast off, outcasts of the Jewish people. And if there's, Ihanidachas means if there's a city which gone over to worship idols instead of worshipping Hashem. So we've got to blot it out. Even this one mezuzah in that city, it can save the whole city. The one individual. So we've got to remember that. But hitichacha, today we also say broch every day. Kabbis nitchi amo Yisroel. We say, in fact, the shofar, tekabbis shofar gode lechir useinu, that ends with mekabbis nitchi amo Yisroel. Hashem gathers together the nidochim mentioned in this verse, asher tichacha. The nidochim are those who are outcasts from, they don't want anything Jewish. Well, we're born Jews, but we don't want Jewish things. So Hashem recognizes after a few generations that the intermarriage and assimilation and living amongst non-Jewish environment non-stop has caused those people to leave Judaism entirely, to forget about the mission of the Jewish people, which should be the firstborn and be a light to the nations, instead of a source of klolo. So this mentioned in this verse that says when that happens, so first teshuva has to come, first step of teshuva to people who are outcasts is to come back to Eretz Israel. Yep, that's why Hashem helps us. He's helped us. That's Hashem. Then you will return to Hashem and listen to his voice. Voice will completely, you and your children, with your whole heart and your soul. And then it says, Hashem will bring back to you your captivity, will take you out from your means spiritual captivity amongst the nations, have compassion upon you. Then Hashem will go, and even whatever Jews there are scattered in the world, he'll find many ways to bring them back. It's very interesting. We always say the essence of the Jewish people is always the concept of six, the material world. It's a following of the Maral, but the concept of six. In other words, we believe we'll find Hashem, and we've got to find Hashem in the material world. There's going to be a spiritual world after death, but the Torah is concerned primarily, given to this world, is concerned that Am Yisrael should show all inhabitants of the earth how to live happily in peace in this world. Peace, if you're peace with Hashem, you'll be peace with all mankind. And that's what we have to get through. So that's why Hashem even brings people from the end of the heavens. Why is it the end of the earth? What's the end of the heavens? But today we understand, what does it mean, end of the heavens? How does Hashem bring people back from the end of the heavens? Because today you don't travel by road to Eretz Israel, take airplanes. There's a prophecy of airplanes. From there Hashem will gather you. He'll see to it that there'll be, they call it the magic of the carpet. The Aliyah from Tehran is called the carpet, because they've all flown lot by lot, the Tehmani Jews. Unfortunately, what happened to them here, the majority became assimilated in Israel. But Hashem's intentions were to help them all to carry on the Tehmanim. They kept Jewish traditions all the way through the Middle Ages. Without, they weren't persecuted so much as were Jews elsewhere, and they managed to preserve the most ancient traditions. The way of speaking Hebrew is Tehmani. The real original Hebrew was spoken correctly by the Yemenites, and even today you can hear it in the Yemenite. There was big rabbi in Frankfurt. Frankfurt was Ashkenazi community. They all prayed the usual Ashkenazi way. One prays Hebrew. One speaks Hebrew. Yeah, Ashkenazi Hebrew is more ancient in German. The Sephardi communities also preserved things from more ancient times than the Ashkenazim. But in Frankfurt, it was quite different. But there was one who was a very great Talmud of the Chasam Sofer called Rav Nosson Adler, and he was a Kohen, and he made a minyan in his house, and he brought a Taimani Jew to teach him correctly how to pronounce Hebrew. And we had him in the yeshiva, for a certain period, a couple of Taimanim came to our minyan. And they said the bracha, and when they read from the Torah, they read it according to Taimani custom. Pashat Zachor, for example, which is doing all types of pronouncements. So we had the Taimani pronouncement as well. So this is how Hashem has brought everyone back to Eretz Yisrael. And then it's the next parasha says entirely, Hashem with more prophecies, many prophecies here, how Hashem will bless us when He come back. And certainly has blessed us, but He hasn't blessed the majority of the Jewish people yet enough, because we have not cooperated. So we have to go to chapter 30, verse 11. Because this is like follows. The whole question in the poskim, in those who decide halacha, is to live in Eretz Yisrael, is it really a mitzvah of the Torah? Yeah? It is certainly the basic principle of the Torah and the service of Hashem, that's for sure. But Ban proves from this passage that it's certainly called a mitzvah. He says, Ki ha-mitzvah zot, this mitzvah which I command you today. So we see here, teshuvah is implied. So we're now in the period of a set of ksichos, and then a set of me teshuvah. So it's from this that we learn out the principles of teshuvah. So it's very interesting. The Rambam does not reckon teshuvah as one of the mitzvot explicitly in his book of the mitzvot. Why not? It says a mitzvah is not. It's called a mitzvah. Why not? Anybody knows the answer? The David, I'm asking you a question. You've learned a lot of poskim. Why does the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, the Ramban's, in fact he says the Rambam left it out by mistake. Yeah? That's the Ramban, criticized the Rambam. And on the surface, the Ramban is right. Nachmanides is right. Yeah? It's called the Mitzvah Zot, which I command you today. Which mitzvah is it? It describes the mitzvah. The Fichabur, it describes even the three elements of the mitzvah, which is Beficha, Vidui, confession, and Belvovcha means Charata, regret, and Lasoto means the resolution to not to repeat any sins and to make sure you're going to fulfill all the mitzvot. The three elements of Teshuvah count everybody. So why doesn't the Rambam reckon it as a mitzvah? A sefer mitzvot. What's the answer? Well, you know the answer. You don't know the answer? No? So the answer is very simple. The Rambam, before he counts up the mitzvot, he makes a whole section on how to classify the mitzvot. So it says there are quite a few mitzvot which include many aspects. Yeah. It's called a law, and it is lav shebichlalot. It says explicitly in the Gemara, a lav which contains different items of mitzvah, for example, lifnei iver. Yeah. There's no question, but the lifnei iver literally is a transgression. literally means you shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. And it's quite true, you mustn't. But obviously you mustn't, because you're always liable for hazard. If you cause him a stumble, hurt himself, you've got to pay. There's another half passion. But it also means, what else does it mean? It means you shouldn't give people bad advice. If a person is asked for advice and he's got certain prejudices, the gear, so then he gives him wrong advice. So that's if he doesn't amaze it. Because for a certain reason, he benefits himself, he gives him bad advice. So, you know, some crooked lawyers do that, give bad advice. In order to earn money, to give bad advice, they can earn up more money. So, if you go to somebody who's an objective, you know, who wants an objective law, who perhaps doesn't even know that it's dispute, but he gives advice which is objective, that's a principle too. That's also included. So therefore, if you do put a stumbling block in front of a blind man, just place the stumbling block there. You haven't transgressed. You haven't also transgressed, even do literally, but it's got a much deeper meaning. So it says the same applies to teshuva also. The mitzvah teshuva is the same thing. Teshuva contains so many aspects. Teshuva means you've got to really do teshuva in many different ways. Teshuva does not only mean to go and regret the sin. You've also got the other elements. There's the other elements. Rambam correctly, in fact, the main mitzvah of teshuva is the mitzvah of vidui. Since you are vidui, therefore, confession mentioned explicitly in the Chumash, vitartu etzachet asher asu, mentioned explicitly, but the other things, it doesn't say anywhere you've got to have charatza. It says explicitly what to do. Therefore, it's called love. It's love shebichloris. Of Rambam says, because the Ikar love mentioned the Chumash, and that's why you say for mitzvah, you go for what's mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. But on Pipashtos, it says here the mitzvah of teshuva is charata and kabbalah liatid. And then it follows on the next pasha in the Tzavim. See, I've set you before today life and that which is good, and death, that which is evil. What's life? Is to love Hashem, to walk in His ways, to serve His mitzvot, and then you will live and you'll increase, and Hashem will bless you in the land which you're going to inherit. But if you take away, then you've lost it again. So this is the warning Hashem gives here, and the choice we have in front of us. And I'm going to explain on this, let's end on this, that we're now in front of Bechirot, choosing. And we know in the government, the question we choose a prime minister, we don't know if the prime minister is going to be Jewish or if it's going to be a Muslim. We don't really know whether it's going to be one of the heads of the government who came out and said he wants like a Palestinian state, or if we're going to have a Jewish one, or somebody who at least is very positive in all Jewish things. That, what does it depend on? It depends on one vote. And the Rambam uses this, and the Gemara says, we should know, in life, every person is responsible, has to regard himself and the whole world as responsible for what's going to happen. If he does one good deed, the world is always in a balance, like the weapons today. The terrible weapons which exist in the world, they're being strayed according to one theory, that the, as long as there's a balance of powers between those, as I say today, between Iran and America, and they're well balanced, the weapons they possess, we're talking about the nuclear weapons, and we have stronger weapons they both possess, is always going to be balanced. The moment it's not balanced, then if there's not nuclear disarmament, the ND is going to be the END. And it's not a question who's right, but the question will be who's going to be left. That's the question. That's the question in world politics. And that's the question in the politics of Shamayim, in heavenly politics. Heavenly politics go the same way. It says it's one saint can save the world. It's the principle in the Gemara. Because his saint is so great, he tips the balance in favor when really it should be destroyed. And that's literally the position today. And we have, therefore, in fact, the Akutas Yisrael B'Shabbos is also, in a few days, it's very vital that everyone should vote to this party who are strongly in favor, both of Eretz Yisrael, not going over to the Muslims or to people who are atheists. That's very important. And also, they're trying to unite, Agudat, make one unified party of all those who keep Shabbos. As long as they keep Shabbos, and as long as they, even if they're not further, because the Shabbos is being desecrated by the present government, that has to be changed. Even Ben Gurion agreed to that there should be a status quo as far as public transport of Shabbos is concerned. And this is going away against the basis of the status quo of the State of Israel. I mean, it's a terrible situation. And also, we've got to unite all the different groups. We shouldn't have different groups of people who do believe in the Torah to start going splitting up. They all split into separate parties, then we won't win. We can only win by unity. Unity and fulfillment of Torah as far as possible on Shabbos, and that's going to unite us, and that's what we have to vote for. And it's very important to everyone who's able to vote has to give his vote. And let's apply that also spiritually. In our teshuva, we should know even how important every person is to do teshuva. It's important for him, and it's important also to the future of Am Yisrael and even of mankind. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi.